Have several handouts for those that didn't get one, or some reason it's not with your Bible. Dealing with the smallest book in the Old Testament, Obadiah. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Small book. All right, so in the Old Testament, book of Obadiah, one of the minor prophets. Smallest book in the Bible, or in the Old Testament. And yet Obadiah had a very significant ministry. And so we're looking here in Obadiah chapter 1. And we see in verse 1, it says, the vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. All right, so Obadiah. First of all, his name means servant of the Lord. So we break this down. Obadiah, there's a handful of people. Think about 12 people in the Old Testament named Obadiah, 12 different people. So I cover some of this in the outline that I've given you there. And Obadiah is dealing with the brother and descendants of Jacob. And so we have Esau was the brother of Jacob. And so his descendants were known as Edom or Edomites. All right. So we have a message here given to the Edomites. So basically, we have these two brothers. They were twin brothers. They were born. We'll look at this in a minute in Genesis 25. And they were opposed to each other. And Esau especially hated his brother Jacob. And so his descendants then went after Jacob and the Israelites and so on. So that's what we covered last week. And so the Lord's going to deal with the hatred of this one brother and his descendants towards the chosen people. That's Jacob. Name was changed to Israel. So Jacob, Israel, and the Israelites, the Jews, and so on. All right, so that's in general what we have going on here. Now, if you look here, once again, so we're going to look at the A to Z of the Old Testament teaching on Esau. So if you look there in Genesis chapter 25, here we have the beginning of it. And a fairly well-known story in the Old Testament, but we have in verse chapter 25, verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. So we have Isaac and Rebekah. So here's this couple. And she has twins. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And so she's not sure why these twins are seem to be struggling so much, probably more so than normal, I guess, for twins. Anyway, she went to the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, so the Lord answered her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And so here, she didn't have actually two nations. She had two sons whose descendants would turn into nations. Imagine having nations in your... Anyway, we got that point. All right, so... but normally, the firstborn would be the leader of the family, the sons, the children, and so on, have the birthright and dominance and so on. And yet in this case, the Lord chose the younger one, the one coming out later, to be the head over the elder one. All right, so the Lord chose here. The elder shall be serve the younger rather than normal. So this was unusual, but the Lord declared this. So the two sons, as they would come forth, the Lord chose the younger one coming later to be dominant over the older one, which is contrary normally to Jewish practice, but this is what the Lord decided. So we see in verse 24, and when her days to be delivered was fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. All right, so Esau means hairy, and but his descendants were known as Edom. The word red there is our root word for Edom. So anyway, verse 26 says, and after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. All right, so we see the scenario here. So Jacob's name is based off of the word heel. So his name means something like a heel catcher, somebody who wants to come along and trip people up. All right, so we have pun on the name. So the word red is translated Edom in other places. So he came out, apparently had red hair. He's hairy and with red hair. So they called him Esau, hairy. And his descendants were known as the Edomites, which means red. And anyway, and then Jacob, as Esau was coming out, Jacob grabbed his heel, but nevertheless, Esau came first. But Jacob now was to be the dominant one in the relationship. And so the name Jacob is based off of the word heel. So Jacob, the one tripping people up. All right, so we see these theological puns that come along here in regard to the names that were given here. All right, so we have the background of all this. And in the context here, Esau, we're told, that was hungry. So in verse 29, Jacob sawed pottage. He made pottage. And Esau came in from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. So just play on the name red once again. For I am faint, therefore his name was called Edom. So here we see now, because of the red pottage, or the soup that he's making, we see the name Edom shows up here. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, am I at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do unto me? So here he's hungry. You know, and so when you miss a meal, you're really hungry, I mean, you're ready to die, right? I mean, this is it. And so you're ready to do anything to get some food in your stomach. You know how that is. So here we see how carnal and how unimportant the birthright was to him. He sold it for some red pottage. And so with this, this pretty much brought to fulfillment what the Lord had said. So the elder would serve the younger. And so Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him, and he sold him his birthright, Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So he cared nothing about this at this point. All right, so we have this animosity that develops here. Now, we move forward to the tail end of the New Testament, or the Old Testament. That's in Malachi. And in Malachi chapter 1, notice we've got hundreds and hundreds of years have passed between the time of Genesis 25 and Malachi. So Malachi is the last writing author, about the middle of the 5th century, about 450. And we see in Malachi chapter 1, Malachi comes right before Matthew, the New Testament. So Malachi chapter 1, Israel says, the Lord says to Israel, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau, and laid at his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. So here we see about 800 years or more between the Genesis account and now we're way down here at the end of the Old Testament. And so the Lord indicates he loved Jacob and he hated Esau. Now, why did the Lord hate Esau? He hated Esau because of Esau's hatred towards his brother after they both were born and grew up and so on and so forth. And so we have Esau has a history of hating his brother. Now, this is where the book of Obadiah comes in, because Obadiah demonstrates that the Lord is going to judge Esau and his descendants, the Edomites. Of course, Esau is dead by that time. But judge them and for their hatred towards the Jews. All right, so that's what Obadiah is about. So we have Genesis, long history, a period of time. And in between we have Obadiah declaring the reason for the hatred that the Lord had towards Esau and the Edomites. So we have three books here. You follow that? So we've got Genesis, we've got Malachi, and we've got Obadiah in the middle here, and he's prophesying how the Edomites so hated their Jewish brethren that the Lord then can say in Malachi, I've hated what they've done to the Jews. All this hatred came after they were born. This is important. Came after they were born. All right, so that's... Now, the book of Obadiah tells us what they had done towards the Jews. And so we jump ahead here. But, let's go back here to the history of this so we can look here in 2 Kings... chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8, this has to do with in history of various kings. And we're told here in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 20. It says, in his days, Edom, so that's Joram's days, in his day, Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah, and made king over themselves. So they revolted. So Joram went over to Zair and all the chariots with him, and he rose by night and smote the Edomites, which compassed them about, and the captains of the chariots and the people fled to their tents. All right, so it looks like King Joram is having victory over the Edomites. Yet the next verse says, yet the Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah to this day. Then Libna revolted at the same time. So the issue with the Edomites were they were put down and then they came back, and they were put down and came back. And so they were an ongoing problem. So the one verse says he put them down. Next verse said they came back and caused further problems later on. So here we have the Edomites are an ongoing issue with the Jews and so on. All right, and so then we have another account. This is in 2 Chronicles 21. So 2 Chronicles chapter 21. We have the Edomites now are connected with the other enemies of Israel. So we see in 2 Chronicles 21, relative to Joram or Jehoram, so we're in 2 Chronicles 21:16. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines, the Arabians, and that were near Ethiopians, and so on. So here, Joram has issues going on with other nations, and this is where we believe that the Edomites jumped in as well. Because we have the same king, we have the Edomites causing problems along with the Philistines and the Arabians, and so on. So, these nations came to Jerusalem and caused real problems. They went in, raided Jerusalem and so on. Edomites were involved here along with Philistines. So we'll connect the two passages. Now, we're back here to Obadiah, and we're jumping around to understand, but try to give the big picture of this, first of all. So we'll look back here to Obadiah. And so Obadiah gives details of this attack the Philistines and the Arabians and the Edomites had against King Joram. And so we're told here in Obadiah chapter 1, verse 11, "In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried captive his forces and foreigners entered into the gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them." And so here they're being condemned because Jerusalem was attacked by the Philistines, the Arabians, and the Ethiopians, and the Edomites. The Edomites stood by and watched the attack go on. Later on, they laughed about the Jerusalem being hit by these. They rejoiced, that's in verse 12. And then later on, or during the same time, they stood in the way of keeping the Jews from escaping. They stood in the way. And so these are the things that they did. This is what the Lord hated about the Edomites. Later on, Obadiah exposes all this and shows how Edomites hated the Jews, and rather than trying to help them out when Jerusalem was under attack, their own brothers, they laughed and they rejoiced and they stood in the way and they caused problems for them. All right, so that's that's what we see. So once again, Genesis 25, Malachi 1, Obadiah, got that down, all right? All right, now, with regard to Jacob and Esau, we can look at several other passages. We'll get back to this in a little bit, but Esau was an issue. So let's look now in Romans. We're going to look here in Romans chapter 9. So Esau comes up several times, this time in Romans chapter 9. So now we have the account. So I'm reviewing what we dealt with last week. So in the review, this is all coming back. So you're getting a mental understanding. So you can explain this after class. All right, got it? So now in Romans chapter 9, Paul here talks about the history of Israel once again, and indicating back in verse 6, saying, "For they are not all Israel which are of Israel." So there's the believing remnant coming out of basically Isaac and Rebecca, Jacob or Israel. There's the believing remnant, and there's the unbelieving remnant coming out. Now, of course, all the belief or unbelief comes in lifetime. Right? So anyway, notice he says there in verse 11, "For the children being not yet born," so this takes right back to Genesis 25, "neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth." So the Lord wasn't choosing Jacob over Esau because something Jacob did in his mother's womb, obviously. See, so they're not good or bad. But he chose. It's like I mentioned this before. You come to a fork in the road, what do? Well, you don't do like Yogi Berra said, take it. But you decide one way or the other which way you're going to go. All right, so the Lord had these two, and so he decided, I'm going to have the elder serve the younger. That's all he decided. He didn't decide anything about their salvation. It's an important point. And so, but in his election, this means that God chose. So in his election, God chose that one would serve the other. That's all he chose. Just like before God created anything, he chose, and we're going to have the Shemites, Japhethites, the Hamites. All right? You didn't do any choosing in on any of this. So he chose. He elected. He elected that Noah would have three sons. That's all he elected. He elected nothing about their salvation. He keeps salvation a personal responsibility of those who have been born within his election of the Shemites, Japhethites, and Hamites. You follow that? So in this passage, we see in verse 11, or verse 12 rather, says, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. That's what he chose. So this is Genesis 25. And then Paul jumps from Genesis 25 all the way down here to Malachi. So we've been talking about that. So in verse 13, he's citing Malachi 1 and 2, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. As is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. So why in about 800 years did he hate Esau? Because Esau, during his lifetime, hated his brother and went after him and took advantage of his brother. Now, Jacob wasn't any saint in one sense. He's a believer, but Jacob was a trickster. Remember, he's a trickster. I mean, sometimes you look at Esau and Jacob, I don't know. Esau seemed to have some better things going on, but no, his descendants undermined Jerusalem and Jacob and so on. So, Paul brings this out. And I'm saying this because of those who are holding to a predestination view of Calvinism say, here's our verse that God chose the salvation of Jacob, and he did not choose Esau to be saved. This has nothing to do with that. This has to do with their lifetime experiences after they are born. All right. So, then we look further here. Oh, by the way, let's look now to Matthew chapter 1. So Matthew chapter 1, Matthew 1 comes right after Malachi in the Bible. Matthew chapter 1, verse 2. Matthew 1, 2. Notice it says here, talking about the descendants of the Lord. It says in 1, 2, Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. All right, we've been reading about that. But the issue in all of this is, as we go through the genealogy here, we come down here and in verse 16, talks about Jacob. This is a different Jacob, but begat Joseph, the legal father of Jesus, and the husband of Mary, of whom's referring to Mary, was born Jesus. So if Jacob and all the descendants of Jacob were wiped out, what would that have to do with the birth of Jesus? There'd be no birth of Jesus. See, so Esau's attack, led by Satan and his old nature, was against the seed promise only, coming out of Jacob all the way down to Jesus. See that? So there's the bigger picture. There's the bigger picture. Follow that? Bigger picture. No Jacob, no Jesus. All right? So, who was behind Esau and the Edomites in trying to completely destroy Israel, Jacob, Israel, and so on? Who was behind that? Satan was. Satan didn't want the cross to occur. Didn't want the birth of Christ to occur. He didn't want the cross to occur. And yet, in all his efforts, the Lord intervened. All right, so now another issue here. Let's turn, in this case, to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. So we're getting a strong dose of Esau Edomites. So next week we'll have somebody else explain this. All right, but anyway. All right, so chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12. Now here, notice the Lord, rather Paul, is talking about the problem with the Jews and they're despising, the Jews in Paul's day, they're despising what the Lord had given them. And so they're acting out, the Jews are acting out what their own brother acted out, the Esau. So let's look here in 12:15. Which says, looking diligent, lest any man fail, of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby may be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. Oh, Esau pops up here again. So notice about Esau. Esau is an example of a man who was bitter, because of what the Lord predecided for Esau and Jacob. So Esau didn't like the way of his lot of life. And so he was bitter. He's bitter towards God. Now, I'm the firstborn. I wanted to have the privileges of the firstborn. Well, I decided beforehand you're not going to have them. So he got bitter at God. See, all bitterness always towards God. All right, so we cannot and we did not have any say in how we were born, who our parents were, where we lived, when we were born. We had no say about any of this. And so if we get worked like the way I look, I don't like who my parents were. Well, who decided that? You didn't decide that. So who decided it? The Lord did. So you can either say, this is what the Lord's given me in life. I need to be thankful for what he has given me and recognize that he's given me the privileges of life, whatever they may be, wherever I am in life. But my main responsibility in all of life, who I am, what I look like, who my parents were, this, that, and everything else, where I work, all these things, my main goal in life is, do I know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Amen. That's the main goal. Have I repented of sin and trusted him as Savior? So that's an important thing. If we get bitter at God, we're in bad shape. So notice it says in verse 16, lest there be any fornicator, profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. In other words, he wanted his father Isaac to change things around. And Isaac wouldn't change things. Isaac would not repent or change in his mind what he had done through with the trickster. Remember the trickster who tricked at his father, who was dim in sight. And so Isaac wasn't going to reverse things. He wasn't going to repent. No, this is what I did. I gave the birthright to your trickster brother there. Well, this is not right. Well, that's life. So deal with it. Don't get bitter with God. Amen. And so this is what he means. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He cried. And he cried, no doubt, before his father. No, the trickster got my birthright, and it's not fair. And please, Father, turn these things around. Repent in your mind what you're going to do. And Isaac said, I'm not going to do it. That's the way it is. And so now we look at Esau. So this is where those who believe in the strong view of predestination and the Calvinism, as we often call it, that God chose Jacob to be a believer. And God preordained Jacob, or Esau, that he wasn't going to believe her. And it didn't matter how long he repented of his sins and wanted to be saved, he couldn't be saved. This is not what these passages are talking about. And so now you know. So when the Calvinist wants to go to these passages, you say, see, he repented, but he was a non-elect, so it didn't matter. That's not what it's talking about. Follow that? All right. So we have a lot of things going on with Esau. But they're important things. They're important truths here that we have. And so this is what Obadiah is about. Obadiah is about a brother hating another brother. Family issues. Imagine that. Now, fratricide began way back there after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Remember that? First basic sin was what? See, we have Cain and Abel. So what did Cain do? He didn't like that Abel had, and his sacrifices were what the Lord accepted. So what Cain could have done was say, okay, I'll trade you some vegetation for animals, and I'll offer the same sacrifice as well. No, he didn't do that. He hated his brother. See, so when we hate what the Lord has given us, we're in serious trouble. Now, one other passage here about the Edomites. So, are there any Edomites today? That's a yes or no answer. Well, that Obadiah answer the question. So let's go back to our book, Obadiah. We'll eventually get into it. So here in the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 18. 1:18. Obadiah 1:18. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. So the Lord brought an end to the descendants of Esau. There are no Edomites today. There are no Edomites today. There were no Edomites probably up through the first century. So we see Edom was struck down. The Edomites were struck down by the Assyrians, 722. Later on, they were struck down by the Babylonians, 586. And then later on, if there were any Edomites left in the first century, so Herod supposedly was an Edomite, but even if Herod was an Edomite, by AD 70, all of the Edomites were wiped out. There are no living Edomites today. Why? Because of the bitterness of the first descendant, the first individual of the whole history of the Edomites. So when the Lord hated the Edomites, he eventually had them all destroyed. So there's the history of the Edomites. Think of that. That's in Obadiah chapter 1, verse 18. Says, there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau. Today, nobody can say, I am an Edomite. I am a descendant of Esau. No, you're not. You're not. But all this, certainly by AD 70, there were all Edomites, were all descendants of Esau were destroyed. Certainly by then, if not earlier. Follow that? Supposedly Herod was an Edomite, but if he was destroyed by then. All that. So this tiny little book of Obadiah is talking about brotherly hatred. You know, our relationships in life have to do with people that we know and see on a regular basis. Did you know that I have no problem with any of the church members over there in the Philippines? Did you know that? Because I hardly ever run into them. I never talked to them. I never had any arguments with them. I don't have any issues with anybody over there. If I were to have any issues with anybody, it would be people I see regularly. And likewise with you. So if you have any issues, it's going to be with your immediate family or church members. Right? Follow that? And why? Because you bump into them all the time. And all those things you don't like about them always comes out. Now, of course, they love everything about you, right? Oh, no, wait a minute. That works two ways, right? And so who do we like and who do we not like? It's people we run into. That's the people. So I have no issue with the 7 billion people in the world. Did you know that? If I have issue with anybody, it's a tiny little handful of people. But I won't tell you who it is. But likewise with you. So when hatred comes out, when you or I hate somebody or have issues with somebody, it's somebody we know. Somebody we know. You follow that? Family members, church members, you know, people that we run into all the time. And so, here's the message. One message is we ought to examine our hearts. So am I right with my family members? They may not like me. They may have issues with me. But, you know, this time of year, Thanksgiving, Christmas, we're around relatives usually. All right? So they may say, boy, uh-oh, guess who's coming to our house? All right, well. They may not like you, but on the other hand, you can show Christian love towards them. And recognize, all right, my brother, my sister, my parents, my cousins, my relatives. These are the people that the Lord has given to me. In the sovereign will of God, he's given these people, my family, where I was born, who I'm related with, so on. He's given that to me, so I have I have to watch my heart about that. So if I get upset with somebody else, only it's the upsetness goes to the Lord, because I'm really upset that the Lord has given this person that I'm upset with in my world. All right, follow that? So, this is what Obadiah is about. It's a short little book, and there's a lot of detail. A lot of detail about this. But you think about that. You think about this. So, what we indicate here is the Lord does not like deals with those who hate and have real issues, ongoing issues that cause bitterness with people they know. So are you bitter with anybody, towards anybody, about anybody? You have bitterness in your heart. See, you think of a passage like this. let's see. Over there in Colossians. Let's see, Colossians 3:19. How's this? Colossians 3:19. So this is in the parallel passage with Ephesians chapter 5, spirit-filled life and so on. Notice what Colossians 3:19 says. Husbands, want me to read the rest of it? Husbands, love your wives and be not what? Bitter against them. Bitter against them. Why? Because you see your wife every day. You're with your wife all the time. And it's easy to become bitter. Better with the people you're around. And notice the contrast there. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So why did you get attracted to your wife? All right. When you were attracted to your wife, you weren't bitter. sometimes we have to do marriage counseling. I try to take couples back to, so what was it when you and your wife or husband were attracted to each other? What was it? Attracted so much you wanted to get married. So you need to go back to those days in your mind and think about that. But you get bitter. By the way, notice it doesn't say wives don't be bitter towards your husband. It's the other way around. Husbands don't be bitter. So there's a responsibility. And likewise, it goes on, it doesn't talk about bitterness, but it goes on, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So notice here, the husbands and fathers, they've got a lot of responsibility towards their wife and children there, and it has to do with attitude on both parts. Attitude on both parts. So, you'll need to remember this, that young people, your parents will disappoint you sometime in life. But parents, you need to remember this, your young people will disappoint you. So we're sinners saved by grace. And so when disappointment and things come up here, we cannot be bitter towards the ones that are close to us. We have to watch our heart. If my wife would just get things straightened out, I would really love her. Now, wait a minute. You get things straightened out in your heart. Get things straightened out. You can't straighten out somebody else's heart. You can straighten out your heart. So this is what Obadiah, that tiny little book of Obadiah, brings out all these things. But it has to do with the Lord's will. So Obadiah has to instruct. This is what the Lord is doing with these two sons and the one son, Esau, and his descendants so hated Jacob and his descendants that they refused him land, go through the land. Remember back there, I'm going to deal with Edomites. And so he wiped out the lineage of the Edomites. So one thing for sure today, there's no day to be bitter and hateful towards the Jews. So they're probably glad about that. But they've got enough They've got enough enemies in the world anyway. Won't need one more, but it's not going to be the Edomites. They're done. All right? But they're the Lord's chosen people. All right, so now, in the passage, we just got started, but here the Edomites were over there in the area of Selah or Petra or south of the Dead Sea, south east of the Dead Sea, and they were in the place where they had homes carved into the sides of mountains and rocks and so on. So they're in a very secure area there in Petra, beautiful place. And they had a place of worship there carved into rocks in their homes and so on. So they felt they were very secure. And they're up on the high cliffs of these rock enclosures here. And they thought no one can come in and deal with them. So notice in verse 3, Obadiah speaks for the Lord. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? So who's going to check my pride? Well, we might say, no man can check my pride. No man can bring me down. Well, the Lord can. He's greater than man. And by the way, he used and deceived. You think that you can go after your brother here and his descendants and get away with it? And I'm going to bring you down. All right, so he goes on to say, verse 4, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, hence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Question, answer. He goes on, if thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? And if the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? So what he's saying is, when robbers come into homes, they go after the silver and the money and they take off. They don't come in and say, here we only have several hours, so we need to get all the furniture out of the house. We need to get everything out of the house, all the food out of the house. Oh yeah, don't forget the diamonds and money. No, they just come for the diamonds and the money, right? They take off. But he's saying, no, when the enemy comes to you, Edom, the enemy's going to eliminate you, which they eventually did, and destroyed the whole heritage of the Edomites. All right, well, we're going to have to stop there, so you have to come back next week to find out what happens. All right. Our Father, we praise you for the time we've had to be in the Word of God. We pray the Spirit of God will teach us these things and help us to recognize we need to deal with our heart. And not be bitter towards man. We should be being bitter towards thee. Pray that you'll bless us and help us be a blessing to others as well. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.